morning, everybody. Belated Good Chodesh. It's yesterday. It's a strange Chodesh of Geula. She only had good news this month. She desired to teach about turning into a Yom Simcha, Yom Geula. So we're starting another little section, which I called Watches and Clocks, and see what halachas we have concerning watches and clocks. So we're going to get into Mukta, we're going to get into Medida. Let's see. A watch, whether it is a wrist watch, a pocket watch, a necklace watch, an alarm clock, whether they work by battery, electricity, wind-up, automatic, etc. As long as they are working, they are not Mukta, meaning they can be moved around. Wear them on your arm, wear them on your necklace, put them in your pocket, or the such, or at night, you're in your room and you want to look at your watch, so your clock, so you can tilt it towards you so you can see what the time is, that's not a problem. However, the moment they stop working, the moment they're not showing the time, then they are considered mukta, whether they're not showing the time because there's something wrong with them, or the battery's run out, plug has been pulled, whatever it is, it's not doing its job of showing the time, so then it becomes something which is mukta. However, a watch, which also is a item of jewelry, meaning it is pretty enough that even if it wouldn't be working, you would wear it because you believe that this is something nice. So it could either be because you're wearing it like in place of a bracelet. It's a nice gold watch. You want to wear it instead of a bracelet, or it's a pendant on a necklace, and this is your favorite necklace. So then we treat it as a tashit. It is a piece of jewelry. And again, it is not mukta because it serves a different purpose. It serves the purpose of mukta. It serves the purpose of jewelry. And therefore, even though it's not telling the time, but it has another mutadika purpose, and therefore it is not mukta. The defining character that would define that is considered as jewelry is if you would wear it even if it stopped. If a person would take such a thing and wear it, means that they're wearing it for its looks and not just for its purpose as a watch. So as I said, if you have a pendant or a necklace that has a watch inside it and the watch is stopped, but you happen to like the pendant very much, and even if the watch is stopped, you will still wear it, so then it is not mukta because that is now a necklace pendant. It's going to have enough kumina also, Lagabe we're carrying, but we'll see it in a moment. So a watch that works is not mukta, a watch that stopped for whatever reason is mukta, but if it's considered as a piece of jewelry, so then it is again not mukta. A clock that you hang on the wall, or a big old fashioned grandfather clock that comes in a container in a box of its own. And the idea is that it's big, and you place it in a certain place, and you don't move it around. Wall clock is the same thing. You hang it on the wall, and there it stays. You don't walk around with it. You take it with you wherever you go. So that has been set aside to stay on the wall and is mukta. Nothing wrong with looking at it. Nothing wrong with telling the time. But we don't take it down and walk off with it. It is mukta. A watch which it has a blank screen, and the only way to tell the time would be by pressing a button, for example, or something like that. So such a watch is mukta. I mean, even if you know you're not going to be pressing the button and you're just wearing it because you have it on you, you should know when Shabbos comes in, such a watch is mukta, because since it doesn't tell the time without you having to do something which is also on Shabbos, and you can't do that something also on Shabbos, so at the moment for Shabbos it doesn't tell the time. It's like a watch that stopped, and therefore it is considered as mukta. Carrying a watch on Shabbos in a place where there's no Eruv. So there are many opinions as to how to deal with this. Do we hold that a watch is just something like your garments, it's your clothing, and just like you can go out with your clothing, it's part of the goof, this is what we have, and therefore irrelevant of whether it's a jewelry or not, it is part of our attire. I mean, you can say the same thing about a man wearing a tie. A tie doesn't hold your shirt in place just for decorative reasons. So true, a watch is not really decorative. You wear it for a purpose because you need to tell the time. But people make timepieces nice. They make it that you want to, that you feel good when you wear it. It's got to look nice. So essentially, there's a discussion over here, and there are poskim who are more meikel, there are poskim who are more machmir, and the Shmir Shabbos also takes on the line that we should first ascertain whether it's a tachshit, and he uses the same logic that he said above, and said that if it's the type of apparatus that you would wear even if it doesn't tell the time, because you like the way it looks, it's your Shabbos watch and it's gold, and you like to be seen wearing a Shabbos watch, and therefore you'd even put it on if it's not working, so it's fine. That would be a tachshit, and then you can wear it on Shabbos, and you can even wear it in a place where there's no Eruv. But if it's a type of watch that if it stops, you wouldn't wear it, so he says that that is not considered a tachshit, and therefore you should not wear it out in a place where there is no Eruv. But because there are opinions that are meiko, obviously we're not going to tell people what to do, and if you see someone wearing such a watch on Shabbos, we don't go and tell them off. But even so, it's got to be a wristwatch and not a pocket watch. A pocket watch is a problem of carrying. Someone who is in a place where there is an Eruv. So now, from the point of view of carrying, there's no issue, so you can wear your watch on Shabbos. And now the question is, what do you do when your watch stops? Some reason in the middle of Shabbos, the watch stopped. Either it was not wound up enough, or the battery ran out, some other water got in and caused it to stop. There's many things that cause our watches to stop always at the wrong moment. What do you do with the fact that you're now wearing an item of mukta on your arm? So essentially, the halacha is that when one has mukta on oneself and one discovers they have mukta on, you should try to remove the mukta. So essentially, the person has mukta in his pocket or something like that, you say, get it out of your pocket. But the Mokum Hefzad Legazu, when there is a loss involved, Chazal will not go so that you have to get rid of the Mokta immediately, and you can push it off until you feel more safe about it. So if you are, say, out in the street, obviously we're talking about a place with an Eruv, but a street with an Eruv, and if you took your watch off now and put it down and left it on the local bench, you know that within a short amount of time, or at least until you come back on Motzei Shabbos, it won't be there anymore. So you're not mechuyev to go take your watch off and let it be stolen, but rather you wait till you get to a place where you put it, and it will be safe. If that means going home and dropping it at home, fine, or finding a neighbor to put it, or hiding in the bush or something like that, if you have such an opportunity. So you don't need to leave it in a place where it can get lost, broken, or stolen. If a person is in a place where there's no Eruv and he's wearing a watch, if it's that type of watch that anyway you wear when it stops, so the Chorei Levi said that's a tachshit and it's not a problem. But if you were meikel, like the Shita said, you can wear a watch on Shabbos, but right now the watch has stopped, so the watch has become mukta, and now you're in a place where there's no Eruv, so here we're going to say you don't take it and put it down, because then you're going to have a problem of placing something you're doing a hanocha in Eruv Shusarabim, you're putting down something that would be like carrying, and therefore it's better to leave it on your arm and have the mukta carried in the normal way of the way you would carry a watch, which according to, obviously, if you went out on Shabbos with it, then obviously held it wasn't carrying, therefore continuing with it is not a problem of carrying. The only problem is that you have mukta on you. It's an indirect mukta, and therefore it's better to, in order not to get into a problem of itzar, of putting something down in a public place, rather you should continue wearing it and go to a private domain and then take it off. So go home or wherever you're going and then take it off when you arrive. Obviously on Shabbos one cannot press any button on a watch. That means you can't, a digital watch, you can't change the display, you can't set it, you can't, obviously, you can't use the light feature to see the light, whatever it is. If you have any buttons, you have a stopper, a timer, and the sort, obviously, that all that would be Oslo and Shabbos to activate. But, despite the fact that the watch has buttons, it doesn't make it mukta, and if the main purpose of the watch is to tell the time, then obviously you may wear such a watch on Shabbos, and just don't press the button. Setting a watch on Shabbos, this would apply obviously more to a analog watch, not a digital watch, but setting an analog watch on Shabbos by moving the hands and setting them into the right place essentially is not asur. The only problem is that while you set the watch, you can temporarily deactivate the system. If you've now deactivated the system while you set the watch, and then you put it back into a normal position and continues working, that would be a problem on Shabbos. But if the moving of the handles doesn't affect the workings of a watch, then actually you can set a watch. However, you have to watch out that you don't set off any alarm bells or anything like that. So I'll give you an example. In a regular wristwatch that runs on batteries, the way I understand it, I didn't say clear, but the way I understand it, I know when I set my watch, you pull out the little button on the side and the watch stops. Now you set it and then you push it back in again and the watch continues. That I would understand to be also on Shabbos, because even though you haven't disconnected the battery, but you put it into a situation where it stops working, it's now considered no longer working, and you put it back into working, it will be a problem. But if you have a cuckoo clock, something which we had at home when I was a kid, and it is off, and you go put your finger on the dial, and you just push it a little forward, a little back to adjust it, the mechanism is still running and ticking, the weights are still hanging, and the whole thing is going. You haven't caused any stop in the mechanism, it's still running and everything. All you've done is you've moved the place of the dials, that will be mutter. However, if it is 5 to 11, it is 5 past 11 in the real time, but your cuckoo clock shows 5 to 11. So you realize it's running 10 minutes slow. So you take the minute dial and you push it past the hour till the 5 past. And now it tells the right time. Essentially, as I just said, there will be mutter, except that if you take the minute dial and you get it past the hour, your little cuckoo is going to go off and start chirping it. And that you may not do on Shabbos. So you have to be careful that if you're going to be setting such a clock, you have to be careful not to activate any of the mechanisms which are going to be mashmia kol, which are going to set off your cuckoo bird or whatever you have in your clock. So I've done it already. I've seen clocks, battery-operated clocks, that the glass has fallen off. So you can actually touch the, or some of them don't come with glass. Especially the clocks that the kids make, chugim, sukkos, who knows what. So you can, instead of adjusting it from the back on the little wheel, which is one way of doing it, but that would be a problem. Hopefully you have to take the clock off, you have to take it down, instead of a couple of hands on the wall is a problem. But if you just touch the dials, you can just push them into place. You haven't affected the mechanism, it hasn't stopped anything, and are now standard clocks, it's not going to set off your cuckoo. So essentially he says, with no good, you may adjust such a clock on Shabbos if you're certain that it's not going to affect the mechanism and make it stop even temporarily. Replacing a battery, putting back a battery, or putting it into the right position, obviously, is also on Shabbos. Not only that, it could even be an issur d'oraisa, according to some, because when the watch is not working and now you put a battery inside and now it works, you've done tikkun mono. You've actually created a watch. Until now, it was a fancy face that didn't do anything. Now you put a battery inside and it tells the time, so that is tikkun mono. That's what we're going to say. And the next halacha is that winding up a watch in Shabbos is also asur. There are those who hold the winding up a watch in Shabbos is a d'oraisa, because you've changed it from an inactive item into an active item. You've now created a kli out of it. There is a discussion on that, because tikkun mono essentially only applies once. When you finish a kli, you're over on makabe patish. You've done the last, what we call the last hammer hit, and now it is a completed kli. If something happens to it, and then you have to hit the hitter with a hammer again, we say that might not be makabe patish, because they can only over makabe patish once. But here we're going to deal with it that when the watch stops, it's now considered inactive, ineffective, and it's not what it should be. When you make it work, now it's a proper watch, so that is considered as tikkun kli, you have fixed. Legabe, winding up a watch that while it is working, so essentially you'll say, I haven't done anything because it's working, and I'm just making the spring inside it tighter, but I haven't, it's not like it was a broken kli and now it's fixed kli. It's not like before, it couldn't tell the time, didn't have any purpose. Now it has purpose and now it tells the time. Nevertheless, it's a machlokas. Mishagura takes sides and says that it's asur, but there are those who are chodik of Mishagura and say that it's mutter. Generally, the more modern, the post Mishagura possibly will follow the Mishagura on it. Wearing an automatic watch is not a problem on Shabbos. because that is not one's purpose of movement. How does an automatic watch work? It has a disc in the back of the watch, not a semicircle of a disc, which is weighted. And when you move your arm, when the watch gets moved, so that disc will then move from side to side. Whether you move your arm this way, it will cause it to spin like this. You move your arm that way, it will cause it to spin. And each spin tightens the springs. Done in a way that the spinning of this semicircle disc will cause the spring to tighten. And therefore, every movement that you do, which you don't even realize, you're moving your arm all the time as I'm talking in my hand. So we move our arms a lot. The made that the watch gets wound up while you're moving. So to take the watch off and to shake it so that it should wind up, that will obviously be also, that will be act winding it up. But just wearing it and one's movements keeps it wound up is not a problem on Shabbos. Now there's certain cases where we're going to be maker, again, we're going to make a difference between what action is done. As I said, that a watch, to wind it up from fresh when it is stopped, to wind it up is going to be a lot more chomor than if you wind it up while it is still going. Or to put a battery in a watch could be a problem of a chashash daraisa. So therefore, to get a goy to do it for you doesn't solve any problems, because just like any other melacha, avnir la'akos also. However, if there is a tzorich, a need, where avnir la'akos would be mutter, for example, if you have a cholish and a sakana, obviously we're not talking about whether it's a cholish or sakana, but you have a melacha yourself. But if you have a person who is ill, but not to the degree of being mesukin, he's considered a cholish ein b'sakana, but he is not from a mishkan, he cannot get out of bed as a result of his illness, so that he's considered a cholish ein b'sakana, then we are now to do the rabbonons. How we now do the rabbonons is a whole sugya. We'll get to the halachos of a cholish, but for now we'll say that you're allowed to do a amir la'akul. Therefore, if you need a watch for whatever purpose, the example he gives is if a person needs to take Shiurim on Yom Kippur, and it is important to know the time, because the rabbi told you that you have to wait 9 minutes between each shiur, each pachas mikashir that you're taking. But if you wait 10 or 12 or 15 minutes, then he's not going to get enough nourishment. Or in his particular case, the Rav told me you can make or you can wait up to 6 minutes. So it's imperative to know how much time it is, because you don't want to make it too short. Because then it could be that it's mitzarek and then it's not shiurim. If you make it too long, then the person's not getting sufficient food. Therefore, he needs some device in order to let him know what the time is. And if he has no device, he doesn't have a watch, he doesn't have a timer, so he's not going to be able to look after himself correctly. So there you have a tzorich of a person who needs to eat a Yom Kippur. He needs some sort of timing device, so then if he doesn't have one, he can get a goy to wind up his watch or put a battery inside or something like that. If there is no goy available, you have a need for a watch, so then we'd rather say that not what are we going to go to wind up a watch, because that could be a shine of a daraisa, but if the watch is already going and we're afraid it's going to run out, so he should wind it up while it is still going. As I mentioned, the Mishapur is Machmir, but there are many shifts that are made also. So when it comes to Choyle, Shemba Sakana, we're going to be Makel, the guy winding up a watch that's working already. Also, since this is an issue which is much more Kal, it is a lesser form of Isur. In fact, it will be Mako for any Tariq Mitzvah that a person can wind up a watch that is already working, as I said. If the watch has stopped winding it up, could be Tikkun Mone, so then you only can tell a Goy to do it when there's a Chodesh Ein B'Sakana. But to wind up a watch that's still working, so that would be a much smaller Isur. And therefore, we can be mako even for a Jew to do it if it's just a tzarich mitzvah. For example, if a person needs to know when to go to shul and he has no other way of telling the time, so if he has a watch, then he knows he wound it up on Erev Shabbos, but it doesn't go 24 hours; it only goes, say, 18 hours. So the last couple of hours of Shabbos, he's not going to know when Mincha or Maariv is. So then, for the sake of getting to Mincha and Davin Tehillah B'Tzibur, that is a Tzarech Mitzvah, so then you can wind up a watch that is already working, then you can wind it up, because that's considered a Tzarech Mitzvah. To wind up, if you have a, well, if it's, before we go on to the next section, let's just talk about the technicalities of it, for either for those of us who are too young for that, or for those of us who are just reminded. But today, you have an alarm clock, a digital thing, that you just put in the time and it rings when the time comes. Now, once upon a time, you had a wind-up watch that had three dials, minutes and hours, and a third dial, which was for the alarm. And when you set the alarm dial at a certain place on the face of the clock, and as soon as the hour hand reached the alarm dial, then it released a catch, which then put a bell into effect, and then you had an alarm clock, a very simple mechanism. But in order for the bell to work, the bell had to be loaded with a spring as well. So you had two wind-ups on your clock. You had a wind-up to get the clock to work, and you had a wind-up to get the bell to work. That was the energy that got the bell to work. And when the watch got to the right time, then it released that spring on the bell and set the bell off. There was a drawback to this feature, is that such an alarm clock only has a 12-hour cycle, not a 24-hour cycle. So if you set, because it's based on the face time, so if you set the alarm to go off at 7 o'clock, it would go off 7 p.m., 7 a.m., whenever it hit 7 o'clock. So what they did was they put a catch on the anvil that hit the bell at the top. So there was a little piece that went back and forth and hit the cones that caused the bell to ring. And they put a little catcher that stopped this anvil from moving. So you can disable the alarm feature. You wind up the spring. You disable the alarm feature. So when the clock passes 7 o'clock, it releases the internal spring, but it doesn't move and therefore doesn't use up the wind up. It then passes 7 o'clock and hits 8 o'clock. Now it goes back into place and stops the internal spring. And then later in the night, you can remove the stopper on the anvil, and then at 7 o'clock in the morning, your alarm will ring for you. But that was how people did it. You had an alarm clock set for 7 o'clock in the morning. It rang at 7 o'clock. Imagine it rings. You actually got up. You rewound it for the next day, put the stopper in, left it till you went to bed at night. You went to bed at night after 7 p.m. and then you released it, and it rang in the next morning. Now, how does this work, Lagavi Shabbos? Interestingly enough, there's a lot of heterium Lagavi Shabbos. So, number one, we say, is you may not wind up the spring for the alarm. If you do want to use your alarm clock or your mechanical alarm clock on Shabbos, it has to be pre-wound before Shabbos. But you don't want it to ring at 7 o'clock in the evening, so you may put the stopper there so that when 7 o'clock in the evening comes, it doesn't ring. When you go to bed at night, you can remove the stopper and then it will ring in the morning. We'll get to a couple of problems, but one for us I see written here is that if you have a situation, for example, we said a choler needs a clock in order to tell how much time is passing between his shiurim, and he doesn't have anything in the house except for this wind-up clock, so he asks a goy to wind it up for him, and now you wind it up, and it turns out that you have now activated the alarm feature as well, because now the clock is working. That is not a problem, because at the point of winding up, you're winding it up for what you need for the choyle, and the fact that there's a secondary activity that's going to go on, we're not going to be bothered by right now. Therefore, we say it is mutter. As we said, the way these clocks work is you had a stopper that you, like a latch that would hold the bell in place so that it doesn't always ring, it only rings the following hour, or you want to ring in the morning, so you don't want to ring at night, so you put a stopper inside. That stopper you can put in on Shabbos, you can take out on Shabbos. Not only that, when the alarm rings in the morning, it's going to ring for 10 minutes or however long the spring lasts, and you've already woken up and you don't want to have the whole neighborhood wake up. We had Zayin Yeshiva who bought himself a mechanical clock and used it on Shabbos morning to get up for Shachris, and I can tell you the whole dorm heard that clock. So once it's ringing, you can actually put the pin in and stop it from ringing. It's not a problem on Shabbos to put the pin in and stop it from ringing. That is all on a manual clock. And as you said, you can even change the dials. You can set the time that the alarm's going to go off. Also on Shabbos, you can move the dial and set it to the right place, as long as you don't end up activating it now while you turn it round. If you can avoid passing the hour hand and get it into place without doing that, then you can do that on Shabbos. In an electronic alarm clock, meaning a battery operated one, but it's an analog one, not a digital one. Digital ones are problematic because everything you touch is a circuit, and you're switching on, you're switching off, and the snooze button switches it off and resets and whatever. But we're talking about in mechanical ones, which are battery powered. If you have a mechanical alarm clock which is battery powered, the same thing, you can actually use it on Shabbos as well. And it also has a little chukdik that you usually put up to activate, to allow the alarm system to be activated. And it also has the same problem that runs every 12 hours to 24. So again, you don't leave it on the whole time because you don't want to go at night. So you wait till you go to bed and then you activate it for the next morning. So that is mutter to activate it because the circuitry is off. And what you're doing is just that when the time comes, so this switch will be on. But right now there is no circuit, so you can activate it. Because basically it's all mechanical on the inside. It's just the electricity, the battery that gets the things to move, but everything else is mechanical. Therefore, you can lift the button on Shabbos, as long as it doesn't right then make it ring. And you can set it as long as it doesn't change anything on the actual dial. It's not one of those where it's like a digital dial or something like that. If it's purely mechanical, then you can actually set the time as long as you're not causing it to go off. But the difference between the electrically powered mechanical clock to the pure mechanical clock is that when it's ringing, you can't switch it off because then you are actually, the alarm is not a wound up mechanical bell, but rather it is an electrical circuit that is making a sound with a speaker, and switching it off will then bring an end to that circuit, and that will be also on Shabbos. However, if you have one of those mechanical electrical alarm clocks that rings beep beep beep, and then it stops for a couple of seconds, and then carries on again beep beep beep, and then it stops again. During the period that it stops, says the Shemar Shabbos Berachos, you can actually push the button down so that it won't continue ringing. Okay, let's see if we can just get in the last two sections and finish off the section for now. A telephone is a klishe menachta le'isur, and if you have set it before Shabbos to be your alarm clock, there is nothing you can do with it. You can't change the settings. You can't move it around. What you can do is that if there's a, since it's klishe menachta le'isur, so you're not a mumet tzarukul b'makoymoy, meaning if it bothers you where it's in and you want it to be away from you, so then you can move it. So you can actually set your cell phone as an alarm clock before Shabbos, and then when it rings on Shabbos morning, now it bothers you because it's going to carry on ringing for another half an hour and you're up already, so you can pick it up and put it out of the way. I remember people having the idea you put it in the fridge, because the fridge is to a certain extent insulated, and therefore the sound doesn't come out so well. So you take your phone and you put it in the fridge so it doesn't disturb everybody else in the house. That will be mutter because klishim after the isur. You tzarich makoma, this you don't want it in your bedroom. Not that you need it in the fridge, but you don't want it in the bedroom. You need the place that it is because you need it to be gone from here. That will be considered as moving the tzarich gufa. You're allowed to move that into a place where it won't disturb you. A countdown timer, a stopwatch, whether they are mechanical or electrical, or even a stand timer, are also to use. It's a separate, yes, a question on Medida measuring on Shabbos is Asur, and therefore it in and of itself as a piece is a klishe menachta le'isur, it's mukta. You can't use them and you can't move them around on Shabbos. If you have a chol hashem v'sakana, again, you have something